Okay, so the plan for the Chabura this afternoon, I guess, is to talk mostly about the sugya of Heter Chadash. Then hopefully at the end we'll have some time to just focus on one Ha'ara, on a major topic that comes out of the later part of the sugya, going down to the Mishnah, about the nature of Trefa and Psul Trefa. Heter Chadash, so the Gemara, right, last week we learned about Mashki Yisrael. We were introduced to the topic because Rav said that if you have a Minchas Omer Shekamsa Shlo Lishma, so Rav said it's Pasul Agamre, because Ho Uba Basa Lahatir Velo Hitira, right? It came to Matir the Chadash, and it failed in its mission, therefore Rav says there's a Psul Shlo Lishma. Clearly, Rav is of the opinion that the Omer has a very targeted goal. Chadash is Aser, and the Omer comes to be matir the Chadash. Rav Ilan has a footnote where he points out that for Rav, for sure, that seems like the exclusive goal. Like we think about the who was it? It was the Emek Bracha that Rav Brand quoted a couple of weeks ago, right, suggesting that there could be a concept of a separate Chag HaOmer, right? This could be, you know, like it's a day with the Kedushas Hayom that for which the Omer has to be brought. So Rav is going to completely disagree with that. Rav thinks the only reason why the Omer is brought is to be Matir Chadash. If it fails in doing so, there's nothing left for it to achieve, right? And like an easy nafkamina, if the Beis HaMikdash was built in the middle of the day on the 16th of Nisan, he writes, Rav would never have you bring an Omer because the Chadash was already matir, right, by Heir Mizrach, as we'll talk about in a minute. So that's Rav's view already before we even start the sugya on Daf Hei Mabez with our sugya with Reish Lakish. Right? Rav is a diehard that the Omer is matir Chadash. Okay. Then the Gemara had turned to the view of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish disagreed with Rav about Psul Shalo Lishma. Reish Lakish said, if you komates the Omer Shalo Lishma, it's the standard halacha kasher velo al lebailim l'shem chova, right? Which shouldn't be so surprising because that's the norm for karbanos. But Reish Lakish said you're allowed to eat the shirayim. The Gemara was bothered by that because the shirayim of the karban haomer are chadash. Right, and you have not successfully brought a karban haomer. So, what mechanism is it that allows you to eat the chadash now if you have not yet successfully brought an omer? The Gemara asked, "We should have a problem of mashke Yisrael, right? I'm sorry, I messed up before. You cannot eat the shirayim. Getting ahead of myself. You cannot eat the shirayim. So the Gemara asks, if you can't eat the shirayim, the whole karban should have been pasul, right? There should have been the problem of mashke Yisrael. Karbanos can only be brought from that which is mutter, as Rabbi Kraft talked about last week. The Gemara spent the whole Hamad Aleph trying to resolve that, trying to explain why, even though right now you're not able to eat the shirayim, nonetheless, the karban itself will not be defined as having a problem of mashke Yisrael. The Gemara presented the idea that since in mechusar zman labo bayom, right, in a few hours or in a few minutes, you'll bring a new Omer, which will successfully matir the Chadash, and therefore anything which is going to become mutter in a little bit of time, later on in the day, is not going to be considered mechusar zman. So therefore, the Omer that you have brought should not be pasul. The Gemara ended up bringing a kasha on that, and therefore we had to come up with a new explanation for Reish Lakish as to why, when you have an Omer, shalo lishma, it will not have a problem of Mashke Yisrael. And that's where, who is it? It's Rav Papa. Rav Papa says we have to understand Reish Lakish differently. Reish Lakish has a different understanding of the Heter Chadash than we've had until now, since Rav introduced the sugya back on Daf Dalet. Because according to Reish Lakish, it is not the exclusively the Omer which is Matir Chadash, right, is actually daybreak. Heir Mizrach, daybreak on day 16, or technically a little later than when you can see the light in the east, which I think Rashi says really means Nates, which the Rev has a piece on. But it is actually daybreak, which makes the Omer Mutter, right? Which makes the Chadash mutter. So fine, no problem, Ashki Yisrael, because actually it's not the Omer, which is Matir the Chadash, it was already Daybreak, which was Matir the Chadash, and all's well, and we can go home. Right? Not a Mashki Yisrael problem, because by the time you brought your Omer, Shalol Lishma, the day had already broke, and the Chadash was already mutter. So, right, there's one clear problem with the Gemara, which is, well, okay, but so you know, what does the Omer do? Like, I thought the Omer was Matir the Chadash. So Rashi tells you, right, that the Gemara here is not presenting all of the story, and in order to fully understand what is going on, what is the view of Rish Lakish, we're gonna have to jump over to Daf Samaches, where Rashi tells us the Gemara is going to explain that there is a mitzvah to bring the Omer before eating Chadash. So the first major topic we're going to have to discuss, and we'll really focus on two main questions in this whole segue. We're going to, for Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, right, that'll be major point number one, is going to be what exactly is this mitzvah to wait until you bring the Omer to eat Chadash, if the Chadash was already permitted by daybreak. Okay, so we move to Daf Samachas, and just as a precursor to this, so the core of the problem that the Amoraim are all dealing with, so it just comes out of an ambiguity in the pasuk itself, right? Because what does Torah say? V'lachem mekali v'charmel lo sochlu. You're not going to eat the grain at etzem hayom hazeh ad haviyachem es karban elokeichem. So that's right? You're not going to eat the grain until you bring the carb, until etzem hayom hazeh. Until you bring the carbon. So, right, don't shoot the messenger. We have to deal with the fact that the Torah seems to say that there are two things you have to wait for until you're eating Chadash. Includes the Torah, Chukas Olam, Darosechem, Bechol Moshvo Seichem. Now, happens to be the pashtus, like the thrust you get generally from the psukim, seems to emphasize the role of the carbon more heavily than the day itself. In fact, the Torah almost, you know, mitigates the day. We're not told what the day is. The day is just Macharas HaShabbos, right? It's not given so much independent stature as its own day. And in fact, the whole parsha of Omer and Shteilachem, Rabbi Rosenblatt talks about this, seems like it's just looking forward the entire time to Chag HaShavuos, right? So you seem to feel the carbon being emphasized more heavily, which again goes against that view of the Yimik Bracha, and that we go to Daf Samaches and we discover is exactly the view of Rav and Shmuel, right? Because Rav and Shmuel say in Daf Samaches, what do we do with this ambiguity in the Psukim? Do we focus on Ad Etzem Hayom Azad? Do we focus on Ad Haviyachem Es Karban Elokeichem? So Rav and Shmuel say Bizman Hamikdash. The matir is the Omer, right? And that is the full-fledged matir. Remember, for Rav, that is going to create a psul shalol l'shma for the Menchas Omer. And then shalom bizman hamikdash, we have matir number two, right, which is ad etzem hayom hazeh. So if there's no Omer, you're going to rely on the day. But when the mikdash is around, we'll go with what, you know, you seems to be more in line with Pashas and the Psukim, the carbon itself is going to play the pivotal role. Now, just, you know, one note related to that. You might think it's a little bit strange to have the Torah creating two different, you know, materium, like two different tracks for two different situations, one when the Mikdash is around, one when it's not. But the Ramban, a couple of Psukim later, already points out that the Chumash is explicitly addressing a situation where there's no Mikdash, because the pasuk ends Chukas Olam L'doro Seichem B'chol Moshvo Seichem. So the Ramban writes over there, yeah, the Torah is here telling you that the Yisr Chadash will apply even in Galus, and he talks there also about Chutz La'aretz. But once the Chumash is addressing Yisr Chadash Bizman HaGalus, so then it's very reasonable to have, right, the Torah also be telling you about the separate track, the separate matir, when we're shalom bizman hamikdash, right? And according to Rav and Shmuel, that's etzem hayom hazeh, right? So that's their that's the view of Rav and Shmuel. However, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish think that there are no such thing as two separate tracks, right? There's just there's the track of Heir Mizrach is always operative, right? The Torah did put these two together. Those are not describing two different situations. Rather, you have the hetir of Heir Mizrach, and then you have the mitzvah of Ad Haviyachem as karban elokecha. Okay, so what exactly is this mitzvah, and what do we know? So, and what do we know about it? So, right, it's hard to define what the mitzvah is because the Gemara just says v'hoksiv Ad Haviyachem lemitzvah, and what other information are we given? We're trying to define this mitzvah, right? What other piece of evidence can we throw into the machine? So we have a couple. Number one, whatever this mitzvah is, we know that failure to fulfill it cannot be a strong enough problem for Mashke Yisrael, right? The Omer will still be Mashke Yisrael even though you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And so then we'll want to ask, is that a chiddush in the mitzvah, right? That we're downgrading the importance of this mitzvah to such an extent that, Mashke Yisrael isn't a problem? Or is this going to be a chiddush on the Mashke Yisrael side, right? That actually, it's an important mitzvah, but Mashke Yisrael is actually much more flexible than we thought, and you have to clear a much higher bar to get to Mashke Yisrael. Right, that's one question we'll want to know, and the other concrete piece of evidence we have in the Gemara for what this mitzvah is, or at least what it's not, is that this mitzvah cannot be strong enough to justify making a gzeira to guarantee that it is preserved, right? Because the mission over there on Daf Samachas seems to present a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, nowadays we have a gzeira to prohibit eating chadash the entire day of the 16th, right? Which sounds like the rationale for that is when there was a mikdash, so as soon as the omer was brought, let's say by chatzos, you could immediately consume your chadash. After post Chorban, so that's there's no longer the Omer being brought, right? So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says we have to make a gzeira to prohibit eating chadash the entire day of the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have a big problem with this. The Gemara asks, there's no way that we would make a gzeira to just protect a mitzvah lechachila. If Heir Mizrach, daybreak of the 16th, even Bizman HaMikdash, permitted the consumption of Chadash, and then Bizman HaMikdash, there is just a mitzvah to wait until the Omer, so says the Gemara, there's no way we'll make a gzeira so that, Beher Yabana Beis HaMikdash, people will not eat the Chadash too early and therefore violate the lechachila mitzvah of waiting till the Omer. We wouldn't make a gzeira for that. Right? Then the Gemara has to totally re-understand the Mishnah for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that really Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai actually thinks that it's the end of the day which is the matir, and then the Tosas are bothered because Reish Lakish and Yochanan don't seem left with any Tanoim who agree with them, and like that's a big problem. But that clearly was a very strong conviction that they had. So when we want to figure out what this mitzvah is, all we know is that it is weak enough that Mashke Yisrael is not a problem, and that it's weak enough that we're not going to make a gzeira to justify it. Okay. So we have two basic views in the Balei HaTosfos in terms of defining what the mitzvah is, and we can flesh out some different approaches in terms of understanding them from the Achronim, from which we can extract, I think, a couple of important yesodos. The first major umbrella of explanations for this mitzvah it is the Tosfos on Daf Samachas, who say that it's a mitzvah saseh midoraisa, right? There is a positive commandment to wait to eat chadash until you bring the omer. The lav goes away at Heir Mizrach, but there's an iser aseh until the omer is brought. And Tosfos have two problems with this, which they do not answer. One problem they have is, well, right, as we said, this mitzvah has to be weak enough that we're not going to make a gzeira to protect it. Well, if we go to Beit Zedaf Hei, we seem to have a case where we're making a gzeira to protect a mitzvah which isn't as impressive. Gemara says they began after the Churban, they began accepting edim after Mincha, because there's no longer a concern that the Levim were going to mess up the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash, because there was no Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. So that gave them more flexibility for figuring out, you know, which day was Rosh Chodesh, which day was going to be Rosh Hashanah. But they made a gzera that when you have Rosh Hashanah, we'll still say Beitza Shenolda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh, because we're concerned we hear Yibana Beis HaMikdash, right? We're going to go back to the original policy, and we're going to have people thinking that Rosh Hashanah is Shtei Kedushos, when in reality it is only one, and we're going to have Muktzah problems. So the Tosfos just say, well, if we're making a gzeira from Heir Yibana Beis HaMikdash because we're concerned that that people are going to violate Muktzah, right? So surely we should also make a gzeira to protect people from violating the Isser Aseh of eating Chadash. That's one problem Tosfos have, which again they do not answer. And the other problem, maybe the more straightforward one really focus on, is they ask, okay, if we have an Isser Aseh, why shouldn't an Isser Aseh trigger Mashke Yisrael? Right? Torah says, Yecheskel says, right, if you can't eat it, don't bring it as a karban. So, okay, I can't eat it. Who cares if it's a lav or if it's an Isser Aseh? An Isser Aseh is a pretty big deal, right? So there should still be Mashke Yisrael. So Tosfos are stumped, right? Because again, the two pieces that we know about this mitzvah, it's weak enough that it shouldn't justify a gzeira, and it's weak enough that it shouldn't that it shouldn't create a problem. Mashke Yisrael, Tosfos do not understand why either one of those should be true. Okay, so to focus on the question of Mashke Yisrael, why shouldn't an Isser Aseh trigger Mashke Yisrael? So as you said, you could answer this in one of two basic ways. One way is to reevaluate the nature of Mashke Yisrael. The other way is going to be to reevaluate the nature of the Isser Chadash and this Isser Aseh. So the Shagas Aryeh, right, in his piece in the Krentras on Chadash, so he is someone who re-evaluates the nature of Mashke Yisrael. Shagasari argues that Mashke Yisrael only applies to Lavin, right? It's a full-fledged Isser Aseh, Mitzvah Saseh, etc., just like the Balei HaTosfos thought, but you only have Mashke Yisrael for Lavin. And he connects it to Arla, and the fact that this pasuk in Yechezkel is the source for the Shir of Bittel for Arla. So this Shagas Aryeh we could put on the list of Shitos that we saw last week, who think of Mashke Yisrael not just as, you know, chutzpah to the Beis HaMikdash, or, you know, you can't eat it, but that there's like a categorical hafka'ah of certain kinds of isurim from being brought as karbanos, right? So we put this on the same list as the Tosfos who thought that there's no Mashke Yisrael problem if you've had a shasa kosher, right? Rav Elchanan that has to have a shame of machalas asuros. So now we put it here, the Shagas Aryeh, that Mashke Yisrael has to be a lav. Okay. The other main approach is going to be that it's really the reason why this mitzvah saseh does not create a Mashke Yisrael problem is related to the nature of the Yisra Chadash itself, and there are two explanations we saw about this in the Achronim. Makor Baruch suggests that the asay of chadash is not an iser chefza, but it is an iser gavra. He has this very interesting suggestion. It really makes a lot of sense that prior to the 16th of Nisan, when there's a lav, so then the chadash has an iser chefza, right? This is prohibited, just like nevela, trefa, you know, you name it, classic machalas asuros, arla kilaya kerem, you could put chadash on the list. But what happens once the 16th occurs? So now all of a sudden you have this new reality. The chadash is going to be mutter any minute, right? As soon as we bring the omer, so he says you can no longer say that there's an iser cheftza on the chadash. Rather, we are not allowed to eat the chadash until we bring the omer, right? That's the iser asay, right? First, bring the omer, and then eat the chadash. How are you going to say there's an iser asay on the cheftza of chadash? You're not going to say that. You're going to say it's just the iser asay is an iser gavra. We have to bring the omer first, but there's no longer any fundamental prohibition in the chadash itself. And then he suggests that an iser gavra is not going to be nitan to mashke yisrael. So that's one approach. Now, happens to be Bakar Baruch there is also understanding mashke yisrael in that same group as the Shagas Aryeh and Rabbi Chanan and the Tosas and Chulin, right? Because he's also saying that just because you're not allowed to eat it doesn't automatically mean that it's mashke yisrael, right? There has to be his line in the sand is Isser Chafsa versus Isser Gavra. But you know, wherever exactly we're drawing the lines, that whole world of Achronim and Rishonim is conceptualizing mashke yisrael along similar lines. But his breakthrough for us is that it is the right. You have to appreciate for Yochanan and Rish Lakish what a transformation you have from day 15 to day 16. The lav is an iser chavtza, but the essay is just an iser gavra that we have to bring the omer before we eat chadash. Okay. The second way I think we saw in the Achronim for explaining why you could have a full-fledged Isser Aseh, but nonetheless not have a Mashke Yisrael problem, came from that wild Sfas Emes on Daf Hei, right? I think Rabbi Kraft's Sfas Emes of the year so far. Because, right, Sfas Emes says, let's revisit the Pasuk. And the Pasuk said, you can't eat Chadash, ad havyachem es karban elokeichem, right? Have to bring a carbon. So it doesn't necessarily say ad haviyachem es carbon haomer lelokeichem. So suggests the Sfas Emes, all you have to do is bring a carbon of chadash, and then the iser chadash will go away. So you don't need to have a kiyum minchas haomer. It even sounds from the Sfas Emes that if you just took a regular mincha, and this is like this is a pella, right? If you took a mincha and brought it on Tezayin Nisan, that sounds like it should work to get rid of the Yisra Chadash. The machshava behind this is clear, right? Because what's the idea, right? If we talk like from a machshava perspective for a second, before you harvest the grain. Right, so it's like bikurim. The first grain has to be brought on the mizbeach, right? It has to be given to the Ribono Shel. So, does it matter necessarily if that is the barley of the carbon haomer, or if we harvest something, bring a different kind of carbon and bring that to Hashem, as long as it's reishis kitzirchem, from a certain perspective, maybe not. It's wild because, I don't know, the Torah seems to say that you have to bring the Omer first, right? And Erzschweig also points out that the Torah in Emor puts a lot of attention on the Omer itself, right? And this is not Parshas Pinchas. This is not where the Torah spends a lot of time on the Karbanos of the Chag. And yet the details of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, right, really are, the Tenufa, the Ketzira, are emphasized very heavily in Torah Shavuch Sav. So the Sfas Emes, really is an incredible chiddush. We can understand it from a certain perspective, but that's That's the suggestion that he makes. All you need is karban elokeichem, the reality of having brought a karban, even if it doesn't fulfill the kiyum of bringing the karban omer, that should suffice. So you can say we have a full fledged mitzvah sase mida oreisa, right? Not to eat chadash until we bring a karban, and therefore an omer sholashma is going to work. I was hoping to find someone who would say something a little bit different from that. That maybe this could be a case, right, where you have an omer. You say no. You need to bring the omer to matir chadash. But whenever we talk about the omer, you know, a carbon being kasher below al bayim shem chova, so we want to ask how much or how little does that actually accomplish, right? Can a carbon that was brought, you know, it was low al-bailim, does it have any impact at all, right? So, you know, Yossi and I, when we were doing the machshir and mechaprin sugya, so one case where this seemed to come out from the Gemara was the Gemara contrasted mechaprin and machshirin, right? And the Gemara said, well, mechaprin are brought le'achar misa, whereas machshirin are not. And one possible way of understanding that is that when you're talking about kapara and ritzui, right? So if someone brings a karban, if it's lo al labailim, it may not completely, you know, achieve kapara. But would we really say that the relationship between the bailim of the karban and the ribono sholem is the exact same before they brought the karban as it was afterwards? Is there no shift in the meter, right? The carbon was brought, right? You have the Ramban's Machshava, the Ola, and he sees the Ola going up in smoke, and it's as if, you know, there's no impact whatsoever. It seems likely that there's something, just not enough to prevent him from having to bring a new carbon. So maybe we could have suggested that Omer Shelo Lishma, Reish Lakish thinks, succeeds, does enough that it's Matu L'Chadash, But I didn't find anybody who said that. The closest I found was Rav Ilan has a footnote on Daf Dalid, where he suggests that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan argue whether Kasher Velo Allah Labailim retains its shame omer or not. I ain't shum for the details, but I did not find anybody who made this claim. Yeah.
I wasn't sure what you were getting at in terms of the Achar Misa question. But why do you think that it is that the person should have some kind of effect on them if it was lo olavan l'shem chova?
Why do you think that what?
It should have some effect that it's lo olavan l'shem chova. Lo olavan l'shem chova means it didn't count.
It didn't discharge the obligation that you have.
Right.
But do I think that there is no change in the person's relationship with Hashem after having brought his karban? There's no kapara at all, there's no ritzo at all, or just there's not enough to you know, he needed, let's say, you know, he owes a chatas, he needs 100 points of kapara, and Kashav Alwala gets him 25. So he has to go back to the drawing board. And La'achar Misa would be a case where you have that, right? You bring a La'achar Misa because it's better than... Right, there's something that's happening there.
Right,
it's not full fledged.
But that's not necessarily having anything to do with the original bailam. And the reason that you're bringing in la'achar misa is not because the person who is deceased is getting a partial kapara. It's because it's possible to bring this karban without bailam, or because the yorshim become the new bailam. I don't see how the fact that it comes back from Isa indicates anything about the connection to the deceased pilot.
Definitely not necessarily, just possibly. Possibly. But we're not doing Kaparla Harmisa, right? But I think that it is possible that there's some. Okay. So those are two ways you have in the Achronim of explaining. Right, the question that Tosus left on the table, because Tosus, on Tamaches, again, thought that the Mitzvah Saseh was a full-fledged Mitzvah Saseh, and they did not understand what to do with Mashgei Yisrael. So, right, you have a Shagas Aryeh, you suggest Mashgei Yisrael only applies to Lavin, and then you have Mekor Baruch saying this is an Isra Asei on the Gavra, and you have the Sfas Emes suggesting that just having brought any carbon alone would be enough. Okay. Shagas Aryeh brings other kashas on this Yontosos. Ayin Shum, just one brief one he has, which we appreciated because we were bothered when we first saw the Tosos, was you look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, and it's not really clear that there is an Asei at all, right? The Torah, what did the Torah say? The Torah said, Lo sochlu ad esem hayom hazeh ad haviyachem es karban alkechem. Don't eat the chadash until you bring the karban, right? So Shagas Aryeh says, I don't see any Lashon of Mitzvah Asei in the Pasuk. I don't know where Tosos get this idea that there's an Isser Asei. So you know, Tosos are going to respond, you have to read the Pasuk with like a power pause, right? Lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh ad haviyachem es karban alkechem, right? That's creating an Asei. So, you know, Tosos tell you that's read the Pasuk, that's read the Pasuk, and Shagas Aryeh says, I'm not convinced. But, okay, more Asei, but let's leave that for now. The other explanation you have for what this mitzvah is comes from the Tosos on Daf Hei. And the Tosos on Daf Hei say that there's no Asei, there's just a mitzvah min hamuvchar. Right? The best way, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the ideal way to eat your chadash is to eat it after you brought the Omer. Question is, what on earth does mitzvah min hamuvchar mean? Right? So the griz and the stencils, original stencils are available somewhere on my table. Right, so he quotes the Turei Evin as saying it's a mitzvah midrabanan. And the griz is very upset because he says it doesn't make any sense to say that it's a mitzvah midrabanan. Now the truth is, the Turei Evin agrees. Don't blame the Turei Evin. Turei Evin understood, and Shagas Aryeh, right? Shagas Aryeh and Turei Evin agree on this point. The Turei Evin thinks that that's a Tosos meant. Tosos meant that mitzvah min hamuvchar is a mitzvah midrabanan. And he says this doesn't make any sense because how on earth could it be midrabanan? There's a pasuk here, right? The whole problem that we're trying to address is the fact that the Torah said ad haviyachem es karban alkechem. So to say that's a mitzvah midrabanan is extremely difficult, right? And that's the Shagas Aryeh and the Griz are in agreement on that point. But so what does it actually mean? So the Griz develops what's probably like the cleanest way to understand this, and this idea comes out of the Makor Baruch as well. That we have this, there's this concept of what he calls a din mitzvah, meaning what? The Torah can have lechachilas and b'dievetz, right? You can have something which mida oraisa, here's the best way to do it. There is no iser that is violated if you do it in b'dievet fashion, right? But mida oraisa lechachila, this is how it should be done. And the other case which he discusses, right, in the chibur, where this comes out, I mean, he has this in the stencils as well, but in the chibur, the piece is in the middle of Nazir, right? Because there's a problem there that he has with the Rambam. When is the Nazir allowed to drink wine? So the Rambam says the Nazir can't drink wine until the very end of the whole process, where they take the Zroa B'Sheila, and they take one of the matzos, and they take one of the rakikim, they put it on the hands of the Nazir, he waves them around, right, it's after he's been shaved, and once the whole process is over, writes the Rambam, he's allowed to drink wine. Problem is, elsewhere the Rambam says that all this stuff, nesinas kapayim, tiglachas, tenufa, is not ma'akiv. So, like, what on earth does that mean? How can you tell me that these things aren't ma'akiv, but he's not allowed to drink wine until he does them? That's Tarte Desatre, right? So the Griz explains over there that you have, and he brings rise to this from the Yerushalmi, but that you have this idea of a din mitzvah, that mida oraisa, you are supposed to wait until the completion of the entire process, even though mida oraisa, that's not necessary, and you will not violate an iser if you jump the gun, right? Which happens to be, like, ashkafically, a nice concept about the Nazir as well, right? That he's not jump, you know, the whole Nazir is an aspirational idea, right? He's taking on new Isurim. So, you know, he, in a sense, as he readjusts the normal life, it comes out from the Griz, that he's, you know, even keeping those Isurim that he took on upon himself, even when not strictly necessary, right? It's like there's like an aspect, you know, there's a l'chachila idea even at the end of the process. So that's maybe something to think about, you know, when we either learn Nazir or get to Parshas Nasa, whichever comes first. But the Griz suggests that that's exactly what's happening here as well. There's a concept, right, of a din mitzvah where there's no iser involved in failing to do it, but it's what the Torah wants you to do. I'm not sure what the Ashkafic idea would be in the context of the Omer, right? But worth thinking about, right? Why would, yeah?
So just, it's interesting to note that that's because there are multiple components to the mitzvah. Right? So basically, what we're thinking is that you can have a lechatchila, the oraisa, when you have two components.
That was when we grew up, and I didn't know where to track that. I didn't like it because that doesn't sound like what the lechatchila means. Are there instances beyond this?
Yeah. So this is a good. This is a good example.
But it's not going to be like a necessary equation. Right? They're not going to say in every case where there are two components, there's a din mitzvah.
No, but you can only say, what I think you get from this Brisker Rav is the consistent idea that you can only talk about a chula on a daraisa level when you have two components, two mitzvahs. You can't say that I did something bihiduro to one extent and less bihiduro on a different extent if there's only one din. What the Brisker Rav is saying is that there are actually two din here. There's one din of the Naziris, and that Naziris is finished after you did one stage of the Karbanos. And then there's a different din called Tiglachas. That din of Tiglachas is a din of Ne'atzmo, which L'chatchila you should wait for, but it's not Akiv. So this, the same thing is true. I heard Boston has read this from Zalman Chem, as if it's Adikul Bracha, about two dinim elsewhere, like mitzvahs Kriya Shema. He said, how could it be that there's a machlokas in the Tanan whether Hashmiya Ma'azno is Ma'akiv or not Ma'akiv? What does that mean? So he says, obviously, there are two mitzvahs in Kriya Shema. There's Kriya and there's Shmiya. So the Ma'an Amar says that the Shmiya is not Ma'akiv, thinks that there are two mitzvahs. The Lechatchila is to do Kriya and Shmiya, but the Dieved, only the Kriya is Ma'akiv, the Shmiya is not Ma'akiv. So this is a same, it's a consistent point. Or Sheffel likes to talk.
And you wouldn't say that you're Mavatal on Ase?
Potentially. Rav Sheffel points out that there's no such thing as Lechatchila and B'Dieved on a matter like the Tosis and Nida that he loves to quote. But what does it mean to say that there's Lechatchila and B'Dieved in mitzvah? So based on this Brisker Rav, and that same part from Zal Mechemet, it doesn't mean that in one mitzvah you could fulfill it better or worse. It's that you have to look how many dinim are there. So in Tcheles, there's Lavan and Tcheles. Two different dinim. It's not like you get a Kiyum Doraisa in the Lavan if you wear fatter threads or thinner threads.
And what are the two dinim in Nazir?
The Nazir is Tiglachas, that's the din of Ne'atzmo versus the basic din. The basic din is the Karbonos are Matir. There's a basic din, the Nazir has to bring a carbon, and then he can drink wine. Then there's a din bifnei atzmo, a mitzvah of tiglachas, but that tiglachas doesn't tell the person that they can't be the eved.
And tenufa. Okay, so
I think that's part of what we might be saying here.
Okay. Good. So that's the Brisker Rav, right? Makor Baruch as well, quoting Reb Leib Rubin, right? And Ayin Sham for a few of the interesting rayas that they bring for this whole approach. Just one, yesod raya that the Griz has in the stencils is he says this can answer the question Tzuri Evin has in Rosh Hashanah. Tzuri Evin asks, you know, the Gemara says that they had there's a whole discussion about Chadash, right? The Yisr of Chadash when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So Tzuri Evin asks, I understand. They were allowed when they came during the 7 years of Kibush and 7 years of Yerusha. So they were allowed to eat chazer if need be, right? The chazer was mutter. So why, if they're allowed to eat totally, you know, non-kosher, why on earth is there a discussion about eating chadash? It's Tzuri Evin's question. So the Brisker Rav responds, he says, when we talk about the hutra, right, that they had when they first came into the land, so hutras can only apply to isurim. There's no such thing as a hutra on a mitzvah, right? So even though the Isser Chadash would be driven away, just like you know, all the they didn't have to keep kashrus during those 14 years. But the mitzvah, right, the din mitzvah of bringing the omer as the reishis ketzirchem would still be in in existence, right? Just one last note, if you want to look on your own, because there's a whole parallel conversation. We don't have time to get into it now, but when we talk about the mitzvah of bringing the omer before eating, right, in this brisk rav about din mitzvah and makor barach about the chovas agavra. So there's a very parallel discussion in the world of omer about the prohibition of kitzira, because you are also not allowed to harvest chadash before harvesting the grain for the omer. So you know what that's again sounds parallel, a very interesting idea, right? That you know the first grain you harvest should be brought to Ribono Shalom. Look at the Torah Zeroyim has who's right the first sefer by the Emek Bracha or from Ranchek. So he has a very interesting small piece in the beginning of Challah, where he talks about the nature of the Isser Ketzira, whether it's a din in the Chafza or in Isser Gavra. And the Rev also in the Shirim and Chal and Eretz Yisrael has a piece on it too, Ayin Sham. Okay, so that's Tosas' idea that the mitzvah is a mitzvah min amuvchar, right? Shagasari understood that they meant midrabanan, and he didn't understand that at all. The Griz and Mekor Baruch are saying it's this very interesting idea of a din mitzvah. The last way of explaining what this mitzvah is, right, comes from the Shagasari himself. And he does not go with the approach of Tosas on Daf Hey or the approach of Tosas on Daf Samachas. It is not an Isra Seh. It is not a mitzvah ben amuvchar. In fact, when the Gemara said it was a mitzvah, it wasn't really a mitzvah at all. Right? What the Gemara really meant, argues the Shagasariye, and this is an absolutely fascinating idea, is that you can have a basic matir and a full matir. The mitzvah is doing the complete matir. And right, he says you have this concept in the world of matirin where you have a matir which has two different ingredients, and so what if one of them is accomplished? So this idea of iklushe iklish, that accomplishing the first step weakens the iser. The two cases he brings, one is so menachos, right? Whenever you bring a mincha, so you have to burn the komates, and then separately you have to burn the lavona, right? You put lavona on top of the mincha, and then the kohen is going to scoop off the lavona and burn it independently. So the Gemara says, right, iklusha iklish, once you burn the komates, there's no longer a lav of eating the shirayim too early. So the reason is because once you've done part of the matir, the iser is weakened, right? And the other case is nedarim, right? If you have a woman who's an arusa, so both her arus, right, her non-full husband, and her father are both in charge of being mefir nedarim. So the Gemara there also talks about whether what happens with if the husband alone is mefir nedarim, right? Do we have this case of megas gaias? Is the iser is the neder partially removed there as well? So Shagasari says you have the same exact thing over here. Heir Mizrach and Hakrabasa Omer are tag teaming on the Isser. They're co-matirim. And what Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish meant about the Mishnah Mitzvah is doing one gets rid of the Malkos, right? We'll get rid of Mashke Yisrael. And then the other one is going to fully remove the Isser. That's the view of the Shagasari. Totally different from Tosas. Okay, so to move then from Ariochan Reish Lakish to Rav and Shmuel, right? So this will go pretty quickly. So again, Rav and Shmuel seem to say that there are two different tracks, right? Bizman HaMikdash, you have to bring the Omer, and Bizman Shalobizman HaMikdash, you have the Heter of Heir Mizrach. So the Chakira, I guess, is when it's Zman HaMikdash, right, so the Omer is active. Does Heir Mizrach totally disappear or not? Right, are these two tracks? Churban we go with Heir Mizrach, non-Churban we go with Omer, or is Heir Mizrach always active at some level in the background? And the clear nafkamina and the case that you know Achronim and Ezra Vilan you know kind of digs out from the Rishonim might be digging into is what happens if they did not bring an Omer one year, right, when the Mikdash was standing. Because the simple way you would set it up would be if these are two completely different tracks, so Bizman HaMikdash, if they blew it and did not bring the Omer, you're done, right? There's no, you didn't do the Matir, so the Chadash is going to be prohibited. See you next year, right? Go gluten-free until next Pesach, because you're not going to be eating any Chadash until Tes Zayin Nisan, you know, Tafshin Pei Beis or whatever. Whereas if you thought that right, Heyer Mizrach is always active in the background, so you know Bidiyeved, if you didn't bring the Omer, right? So maybe once the day is over, maybe the Omer would once again be permitted. So the Griz and Rabbi Katz Shlita initially wanted to learn this way because he's a brisker at heart, and this was basically what the Griz seemed to think as well, right? Learn very cleanly, two different tracks, right? What? You got to call your safer. I don't think I was loud enough for the recording, but that's okay. Exactly. Right, so the Griz thinks there are two different tracks, and then sure enough, right, he gets to, he says, okay, so now Tzarachim, what happens, Bizman Abayis, so they didn't bring an Omer, right? Which, it's like kind of hard to imagine that it would be that they'd have to wait a whole year, but that's where the logic goes. So he ends up at Tzarachim. That is certainly the view of, where the Minchas Chinuch wants to go. Minchas Chinuch brings a very interesting raya to this. He brings a couple of rayas. So one from the Taras Kohanim. Taras Kohanim says, we do not force the Tzibur to bring an Omer. So why don't we force the Tzibur to bring an Omer? So he quotes the Zayas Ranan, which is the parish of the Magen Avraham, to the Taras Kohanim, right? And the Zayas Ranan says, because we have a halacha when a Yachid has to bring a Karban, so if it's a Nedava, we'll take a Mashkon from him to make sure he brings it, if it's an Ola or a Shlamin. But if a Yachid has to bring a Chatas or an Asham, so the Bezdin is not going to take a Mashkon because we can rest easy. We know for sure he wants the Kapara, so he will certainly bring the Chatas or the Asham of his own accord. So writes the Zayas Ranan, that's why we don't force the Tzibur to bring an Omer, because we can rest assured that they're going to bring the Omer, because the Tzibur definitely wants to eat Chadash. So writes the Menchas Chinuch, you see from here that the Zayas Ranan assumes that Bizman HaBayis, according to Rav and Shmuel, if they did not bring the Omer, then they're sunk until next year. And that's why we can rest assured, right, that they're going to bring the Omer. Because he says, surely, we would not be so at ease, confident in the Tzibur, if the only thing that was at stake was a few hours of Chadash. Now, I said to Yassi, if anybody's ever been to Tinek, the night after Pesach, and you go to Dunkin' Donuts, and you see the rush of Yidden to get their Dunkin' Donuts fix after 8 days, those who disagree with Menchas Chinuch might just say he's wrong on the Metzias, right? That actually a few hours of Chadash, like, is a big deal, right? So, Yesh Lachkor. But that's the suggestion Menchas Chinuch makes. Teferet Yisrael, right, in Avos, makes the same suggestion. A side note, my cousin Rabbi Yitzi Blau Shlita, so he has gotten me onto this. Teferet Yisrael on Perkei Avos is an amazing, amazing parish. So the insights he has in Avos are absolutely incredible. Usually that's like in Milsa Da'agadata, but here we have one in Halacha, right? Because the Mishnah in Avos says one of the nisim they had in Bizan HaBayis was there was never a psul in the Omer or in the Shtei Alechem. So, you might wonder, what's the big deal, right? I mean, it's very nice, but, there had to be a nace to make sure that the Omer or the Shtei Alechem was never possible. So says the Teferet Yisrael, yeah, because if it turned out the Omer was possible, there'd be no Chadash that year, right? If it turned out the Shtei Alechem was possible, there'd be no Menachos from Chadash that year, right? So Teferet Yisrael agrees with Menchas Chinuch that this Isser would apply, two separate tracks. So if you blow it on bringing the Omer, there's nothing else to talk about. On the other hand, though, so Rav Ilan quotes some Rishonim and Kiddushin, who some explicitly and some who implicitly seem to disagree, and think that once the Omer can no longer be brought, the Isser will go away. You have that in the Miyuchas Rashba here as well. And the Shagas Aryeh explains that there's a very important conceptual piece behind this, right? Why is it, according to, it seems like in their Rashi and the Ramban, definitely the Me'iri, the Miyuchas Rashba, why is Chadash going to be mutter after the 16th? So writes the Shagas Aryeh, because you have to re-understand the Isser. He says, even according to Rav and Shmuel, maybe, Heir Mizrach is a matir. The Chadash is permitted once the 16th rolls around. After all, so the Torah said, right? Etzem hayom hazeh. Elamai, there is an obligation to bring the Omer. So bringing the Omer is not a matir of Chadash. Bringing the Omer is an oser of Chadash. Right? The day served as a matir, but as long as you have an opportunity to bring the Karban HaOmer, that opportunity will cause Chadash to be prohibited, because you have to bring the Omer before you do anything else. Once the 16th of Nisan goes away, and the opportunity to bring the Omer has disappeared, so that Oser will vanish as well, and Memela the Chadash will be mutter. Yeah?
That's such a great shot, or is it just...
No, I have a problem with that shot, because I don't understand, I was going to say thank you, I don't really understand, according to him, why Rav thought that the Omer Shalo Lishma was possible. It sounded like it was a Mashir, right? Not that it was, that Chadash is, that the opportunity to bring the Omer prohibits Chadash. Rav really sounded like, right, that the carbon itself is the matir of the Yisr.
Isn't it also that I hear that question, but isn't it also like the whole question here is whether or not we assume that Heir Mizrach or Sofayom is operative Bisman HaMikdash? So he's just taking it for granted. Yeah, well, it is, but the question is, why should it be? That doesn't really explain how you can have two tracks simultaneously. The Pesukim seem to be talking about different things. So he doesn't really explain that. He just kind of explains within the assumption that we're working with.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So that's Rav and Shmuel, right, in that basic machlokas. So with the last 6 minutes, and I think should be just enough time to want to do, so just wanted to turn the page for 1 minute and talk about treifa for 5 minutes, because there's one like fundamental yesod that comes out of the sugya over here. The Gemara, right, from the Daf Hema Beis until the Mishnah, tries to figure out what the makar is that there's a psul treifa in karbanos, right? And we quote min habakar, and we quote from kol shayav tachas hashevet, right, ma'aser behema, to prove that treifa is pasul in kachim. So this creates one big problem, because in the back of the chidushim of the Griz and the Rambam, right? So there are a bunch of letters back there, and there's actually three of the letters are written to the Rav, and I think that they're dated, and I'm pretty sure the Rav is younger in all those letters than like everyone here in this room, and those are also and those are also the only letters where the Brisk Rav says, you know, I got your Chidushei Torah, and they're amazing and they're incredible and they're awesome, right? Like the rest of the letters are, you know, I got your Chidushei Torah, but you're wrong and let me explain why, right? So the only other letter actually that the Griz says he likes is this one over here, where the guy, whoever's writing to him, I'm not sure, asks him about this view of Rav Chaim. The Mesorah is that it was Rav Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Drasha. I'm not sure if that's actually the case, but you know, definitely could be. Rav Chaim says, we have to ask a basic question about the nature of the Isser of Treifa. This piece actually, the Asim Del Reis asks the same question. Is Treifa a separate prohibition, right? Like, you can't eat Nevela, and you can't eat treifa, or is treifa a limitation in the shechita itself, right? That an animal which is treif, which is, you know, has a fatal flaw, cannot be fully shechted. So Rav Chaim argues that a treifa is a pagam in the shechita. The shechita itself is limited, and that's why there's no heter achila. And there are a number of proofs for this. The Griz brings two over here. The Rav has a couple as well, right? So one of the ones that the Brisker Rav brings is the Rambam says that if you have a non-Jew who shechts, right? So according to the Rambam, a non-Jew shechita is aser because of avodah zara concerns. But the Rambam says that a non-Jew shechita does not have deoraisa tumas nevela. And the Rambam says you might be surprised by this, something which is aser b'achila midoraisa, but it's not tame midoraisa. And the Rambam says, don't be concerned because you have the same situation by treifa. So the Grizkos Rav Chaim is saying this is kind of weird. What exactly do these have in common? He says, the answer is both of these are deficient shchitas, right? The shchita of a non-Jew and the shchita of a treifa are enough of a shchita to be metaher the basar midoraisa, but they're not enough to be matir the is or treifa, right? Deficiency in the shchita. One of the most straightforward proof that the Rav quotes is it's an explicit Rambam Hilchos Machalos Asuros Perek Dal Halacha Yed Zayin, where the Rambam says there's a rule in shiurim of foods that Machalos Asuros are not going to be mitstarev to create a kezayis. You can't mix and match different Machalos Asuros to get a kezayis. The Rambam says there's one exception. He says Chutz Min Avela Utreifa. Because the treifa is the beginning of the nevela process. So what does that mean? What does it mean treifa is the beginning of nevela? Why are these two able to combine? Explains the Rav, because fundamentally, conceptually, these have the same iser, right? The nevela is an animal that wasn't shechted, and a treifa is an animal that, for the purposes of heter achila, also wasn't shechted, right? There is a deficiency in the heter shechita. Okay, and there's another proof there in the Griz from Ben Pakua. There's the Rev has other proofs as well. If you want in Rav Lechonstein Shir Mantaros, there's a discussion about this. But Minchas Avram here points out that our sugya creates a huge problem for this yesod, and this is a yesod. This is like one of the famous Rav Chaim pieces. But asks the Minchas Avram if Rav Chaim is correct that treifa is a problem in the shechita, then why on earth did our Gemara need to spend a whole daf trying to figure out the source that treifa is pasul in kadshim? Just answer that the shechita was not fully accomplished, and memela, the karban, is pasul, right? That's the question, and it seems like a really good question. He quotes a couple of answers, which seemed very difficult, right? He quoted one person as suggesting maybe Rav Chaim was only talking about treifas which are going to die, right? But there are some animals which if it has like a fifth leg, it's technically a treifa, but it doesn't have any life force problems. It's very very difficult. He quotes another suggestion: maybe for kadshim you only need a shem shchita. But it's like very, very hard to understand what's going on, right? But as it's kind of transitioning to Ari's sugya of shechita l'avodah for next week, right? But when I was in Gusher, right, Donnie Wolf suggested, well, maybe there's a difference between shechitas kadshim and shechitas chulin. It's okay. Whatever you say, it's difficult. It's a problem. Just one last suggestion, and this will close. Because we asked Ari Rosenthal like this back in the day, and what he wanted to suggest was that in a chanami, when it comes to shchitas, when it comes to kadshim, so a treifa would be a pagam in the shchita. What the Gemara is trying to figure out is whether there's a psul guf on top of the lack of shchita. What we're really interested in is whether there's a separate psul guf. So, for example, right, the Ramban who says that there's a lav to bring various animals as karbanos. And one of the ones that the Ramban mentions is bringing a treifa, right? So you wouldn't have that lav if the problem was just a failure in shechita. You'll only have that lav if there's a separate psul treifa, which is extracted from our gemara. It's still doesn't sound so much like what the gemara is driving at, but I think that answer is the most compelling one that's out there. And being as Rav Chaim has some pretty powerful proofs for his view, so I think that's just something we should take out of this again. Okay, shkach, everyone.